the explanation concerning this creation, that it is a division which came into being in this cosmic consciousness in order that the cosmic being might experience its own bliss, has another facet to it. God made this world in order to realize his own potentialities. God's realization of his own power, his own bliss, is the world. That's the explanation. How far it is true, we don't know. And if that is so, that being so, not that if that is so, that being so, everyone, every created being is constantly looking for that happiness. And in that process, every being is constantly looking for that experience of love, manifesting the experience of love. Let's go, quite a simple thing. If God is omnipresent, and if God is love, this love is everywhere. Right? It's quite simple. And it is that love, that divine love, which is manifest in all relationships. So that if you see non-love in any relationship in the universe, it is only because you are looking at the wrong side. All personalized love relationship, being finite, is therefore accompanied by its antithesis, the positive and the negative. So that if I love you, there is naturally some non-love on the other side. If this is called my friend, that has to be called the back. So if you find a non-love in some relationship in the world, it is because you are looking at the wrong side. You are looking at the conduct of the behavior of a murderer, and you see hate in him. Why is it so? Because you are seeing him, his attitude towards his victim. Look at the other side. Why is he murdering this person or plundering that person? Because he wants to feed the other one. He has got his wife and children and so on and so on. Then he loves them. Right? So instead of looking here, if you look there, you see that he is a very loving person. He's a wonderful man. Therefore, there is love everywhere in the universe, and it is this love that is manifest as this universe, as all these relationships. But caught up in this division, caught up in finite living, finite expression, it becomes imperfect. Imperfect in the sense that it is not full. It is not total. Total love is possible only in God or in cosmic consciousness, when you does not exist. So, when one becomes aware of this love in human relationship as expressed and experienced between friends, between master and servant, between parent and child, between lovers, or in a meditative way, when you experience it, you are still experiencing this love in a very partial way, limited way. Limited way is not love. Limited way is not supreme love. And therefore, Narada defines bhakti as sattvasmin parama prema rupa. Not only love, but supreme love. Is there a thing called supreme love and infreme love? No. But because we are familiar in human relationship with a love which has an antithesis in a cold indifference or hate or dislike or whatever it is, you have to call that supreme love. Is that right? We have unfortunately used this word love in very questionable situations. And because we have misused this word, this concept, in questionable situations, we characterize divine love as supreme love, something exceptional. It's not like this, it's not that which has an antithesis within itself. It is not that which is divided in itself. That which is not divided at all, that is cosmic love or divine love or supreme love, parama prema rupa. But that alone is seen in all this. That alone is seen in all this. You go to the lake, pick up a bucket of water. It is water. And it is the lake water. That's not the totality of the lake water. There is a lot more there. But still, even that is water from the lake. Even that is water from the lake. So every wave in that lake is the lake. But it is not the totality of the lake. The love that people have for one another is also love. However, it is limited, it is conditioned, it is finite, and therefore it is not the totality. It is the same love which is God, which is of God or whatever it is, that is manifest as all this, not only as the human love or human relationship, love in human relationship, but also as the power of gravitation, magnetism. All these are also part of that divine love that sustains the entire universe. We shouldn't make the fatal error of saying that only we are capable of loving. No, as usual, we are the supreme. Human beings are the supreme. And therefore, what we do is love. What the others do is not love. It's there everywhere, throughout the cosmos. But in its manifestation in individuals, it is limited, it is conditioned, and therefore one visualizes an uninterrupted supreme state for it. Sattvasmin parama prema rupa. How do I recognize what is this supreme love? I have learned to recognize these two. I have learned to recognize what it is when there is love in a relationship. And I have learned to recognize what it is when it is not there. I have learned to recognize when the heart is in a state of love, and I have learned to recognize when that is absent in the heart, from the heart. When this love in the heart is uninterrupted, that is obviously perfection. When this love is uninterrupted, then obviously there is perfection.
Can you
Yanlabdhuapuman Atma Ramo Bhavati. The mind is steady and Atma Ramo Bhavati. There is an experience of unbroken happiness, joy, bliss. Because the love is unbroken, the consequence, which is bliss, is also unbroken. And that is why Narada again says that phalarupatvat, you can recognize it by its fruit. It's the same as what Jesus is supposed to have said. How do you recognize love? You know it within yourself. Because when that love prevails in the heart, then there is happiness, there is joy, there is bliss. And when the love is uninterrupted, the bliss also is uninterrupted. So one knows, Atma Ramo Bhavati, one who is established in the supreme love is, there is no word for it. It's not exactly self-satisfied. The expression Atma Rama is almost narcissistic. Almost. Except that it is used in a spiritual sense. And it is explained in another sutra. Yen laddha apuman nakinchit vanchati. Having gained this, he doesn't crave for anything else. He doesn't long for anything else. He doesn't desire anything else. He doesn't crave for anything else. He's not self-satisfied. Fulfilled, yes. But no. In its expressive connotation. Fulfilled is there. Right. But what is the operative part of it? Self-satisfied that he doesn't, there is no craving in his heart for anything else. There is no craving does not mean that he goes on pushing everything else. He realizes what has to be will be. He realizes that these trees started blossoming not because you went fanning or painting it, but they know when to blossom. They know when to yield fruits. There is this intelligence in the whole universe. It's provided. That's why God is called Providence. A young devotee, whose story occurs in the Bhagavatam, he has something very interesting to say to his own comrades, schoolmates. He says, you think you must work very hard in order to make a living. He says that there is some foolishness in that. Why so? Nobody wants to be sick. And yet people become sick. Nobody wants to be poor, and people become poor. Nobody wants bad name, dishonor, and dishonor comes to them. Dishonor, pain, suffering, illness, sickness, poverty. All these things come unsought. Nobody works for these. And he asks a very simple question. What makes you think that in the same way, health, prosperity, honor, happiness also would not come to you? Unsought. It's a question which we have not often asked ourselves. It doesn't mean that I'll sit idle and let everything happen. No. There is energy in this body. Let it move. Let it work. But not motivated by a desire to be happy, to be healthy, or to be prosperous, or to be honored. I think we should make a distinction between letting the body and mind and so on, the personality function, and putting an effort into it. I can live a natural life, and in that natural life itself, there is health, there is happiness, there is prosperity, everything. Whatever has to be, will be. Sounds a bit fatalistic, but it is not. If you enter into the spirit, it's not fatalistic. The day dawned not because you and I bet our head against the wall. The day dawned because the day dawned. And however much you and I may resist it and will against it and pray against it and do headstand against it, it will still be night in 12 hours' time. You cannot prevent the one, you cannot promote the one. So that if you live your life, what has to be, happen will happen. In that life, there is no craving. There is self-satisfaction, Atma Rama. But it is not a rejection, but a peaceful and quiet approach to the whole thing. Then your attention is focused upon this love and its antithesis, both of which are experienced now. In my present state, I experience both these. I experience love and I experience its antithesis. And when I experience this love, I begin to wonder, where does it happen? Where does it exist? It doesn't take very long to realize that when I love you, the love is not, I do not experience the love in you. The love is, it looks as though it is experienced in me, in myself. It looks as though it's experienced in me. And therefore it is usual to say that this love exists in me, in my heart. But there is a delightful expression in the Yoga Vasishtha. I've come across this only in the Yoga Vasishtha, nowhere else. Desha deshantra prapto tanmadhye samvidam viduhu. Between this and that, consciousness is in the middle. It's a beautiful expression. It is neither here nor there. When there is an experience of love, it is neither in me nor in you, it's somewhere in between. Look for it. Where are you? So that I do not assume or presume that you are the object of my love. You are not necessary at all for it. And I do not even presume that the love is in me. I am such a nice person, you know, I am very loving. Only when this me also disappears is there love in between. As it, love is, as it were, floating everywhere. I am as much a sacrifice to it as you. You and I were merely two ends of the handkerchief. But then neither this end exists nor that end exists. Only the handkerchief exists. In that relationship, this love became manifest. But it is neither in me nor in you. It is there. A beautiful concept which occurs again and again in the Yoga Vasishtha. Don't look for this in you. Don't look for this outside, in the other person, but somewhere in between. somewhere in between. How does one define this divine love? If you have understood that far, the next one becomes fairly easy. Narada, the author of this Yoga Sutras, the Bhakti Sutras, has got a delightful definition. Naradastu tad arpitak akhilacharata tad vismarane paramam vyakuliteti. He says, because there are so many teachers, they define this divine love in various ways. But if you ask me, he suggests, there are many people who have suggested bhakti, this bhakti is that. But if you ask me, tad arpita akhila acharata means that state of mind, that state of one's being, in which all your actions are directed towards that, offered to that, directed towards that. That is God. Yes, I told you the other day that he doesn't use the word God very, very often. He uses the word that. Mm-hmm. And that here may mean the cosmic being or the cosmic love, both being indistinguishably one. It's not a personalized God or an anthropomorphic figure, but it is that. That which is God, that which is love, that God is love. So all action, all of one's actions are arpita, offered to that, directed to that, sacrificed to that. This is one characteristic. That state of mind or that state of one's being in which all actions are treated as sacrifice or worship, so that it is not a dull and recluse affair. If I go and sit in my meditation room and I go on Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah, that's not love. That's Om Namah Shivaya. Everything, all, and here, he doesn't even distinguish between right action, wrong action, nothing. Though such a distinction are mentioned in the scripture, it's not here. Akhila acharata, whatever this devotee does, all that is offered to this omnipresent being as offering. Right, exactly. Exactly. So that it is not, this bhakti yoga is not an isolated affair. Karma yoga flows into bhakti yoga flows into karma yoga, it's all one. It's, I don't know why we often make this arbitrary division. Tad arpita akhila acharata, akhila acharata. And there is another sutra, where he defines bhakti as loka veda vyapara nyasaha. How does the devotee behave? What does he do? Loka veda vyapara nyasaha. Loka is the world, veda is religious, vyapara is activity. He has. Now, the word nyasa is often translated as renunciation, sannyasa. So, many have translated that he renounces all these worldly and religious activities. It may not mean that. It may mean nyasa is also to place. He gives worldly activities and religious performances the value that is inherent in them. Not more, not less. Must I eat? Yes, I must eat. Yes. If you are hungry, go and eat. Finish. That chapter is closed. Don't think about to go, you know, like some of these wonderful dietitians do. Don't go on meditating about food for 24 hours of the day. How many calories I must I eat and what my... Food is necessary for the maintenance of the body, eat and maintain the body. And in the same way, there are some religious performances, go on. If you feel a need for them, perform them. There may be a psychological need to perform some kind of ceremony, go on, do it. Eating is another ceremony. I was staying with a highly super vegetarian family in Israel, in the Galilee. They don't even boil or cook, nothing. Most of the vegetables are eaten raw. I spent only 9 days with them. That's all I could. And they were extremely fond of me, and so they gave me yogurt, which is fantastic. That's an exception, because yogurt is not vegetable. And they only drink some milk, mint tea. I found that is all right. As long as it is warm, hot, that is all right. But, and they grew their own vegetable around, you know, organic gardening, in their own backyard garden. And then this woman, she used to go out, pick all those things and wash them and bring them and then cut them and knife and fork. I told her, "Madam, why do you want to bother about all this? Why don't we take a bucket of water outside, pick it, drip it in each other?" You don't need a kitchen, you don't need a pantry, you don't need knives and forks and din, tables, nothing at all. But that is a ritual. Eating has become a ritual. You must sit there and you must hold your knife in your right hand and a fork in your left hand and you must pick it up like this and eat like this. Right? That's a ritual. If this ritual gives you some satisfaction, go on, go ahead. No harm in it. And in the same way, some other ritual called religious ritual gives you some satisfaction, go on, do it. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. You must shake your head. Like this. There are... I went somewhere in Los Angeles where it is written, stationary prayer forbidden. Yeah, you should not just sit stationary and pray. Mr. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah. They were doing something else, but never mind. Whatever they were doing this. Huh? There, yeah. Stationary prayer forbidden. Right, you want to do that, do it. If it gives you some satisfaction, do it. Loka Veda Vyapara Nyasaha. But don't give them more value than is inherent in them. You need money for your living, go and earn that money. Again, we read this in the Yoga Vasishtha a couple of days ago. One must sustain the body. There's no harm in it. And sustain the body, you know, earn enough to sustain your body. There's no harm. And why must I sustain the body? In order that I may acquire knowledge. And what sort of knowledge must I acquire? The knowledge that will liberate you. So if all these things are directed towards freedom, liberation, then all these things become valuable. I don't earn money in order to earn money. Treating that as the goal in itself. I don't maintain the body in order to maintain the body, treating that as the goal in itself. So, all these things have their place, have their value in the context of liberation. Tadarpita akhilacharata. So that all the activities that one engages oneself in have this one aim of discovering this love, this divine love, cosmic love. Another concept occurs, tad vismarane paramam vyakulateti, vyakulateti. Tad vismarane paramam vyakulata. I experience this love and it gives me supreme satisfaction, supreme happiness. And I also experience its antithesis, and that makes me shudder. In plain human relationship. And as this goes on, the mind naturally flows along